The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, it's 8:41 on this Monday morning. I don't know about you. I've noticed that my grocery budget is going up, but I'm spending a lot less at restaurants, and that really has an impact on the food supply chain. Joining us right now from the MSU Extension Office here in St. Clair County is Joe Bixler. Talk a little bit more about where our food comes from and how that's affecting farmers. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Paul.
It's been a nutty year, hasn't it?
My gosh, yes.
And I feel like we started talking about all this, you know, back in March and April, how it was kind of turning the food supply chain upside down. We haven't really addressed it much since then, but it really has taken its toll on farmers, hasn't it?
Well, it's taken its toll on the food supply chain in general, which obviously begins at the farmer level. Let's remember that food doesn't come from Myers, it comes from farms.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you recall the pork plant out in Iowa that had to shut down due to illnesses to staff in that facility, it really threw literally a monkey wrench into the supply chain. Mm-hmm. And began to show us, the folks that are out working in food systems, our some weaknesses.
Yeah.
In our supply chain across the country, much less Michigan. So it obviously came at not a good time, but it was also related to the COVID pandemic as well, due to illness. So,
what are some of those weaknesses? What are some of the things that we've learned about our food supply chain over the course of this year?
Well, the number one thing is that it's susceptible. Period. That can happen again. You know, right now we're looking at numbers going up of illness across the country, and our food supply is going to be susceptible just like it was back in March and April. So, you know, supply and demand obviously is the word of the day when it comes to that. We saw supply diminish. We saw prices go up. It's kind of that has flattened out now as the supply has caught up. And the folks that get caught with a great deal of the product are farmers.
Yeah.
When we had those pork plants, that pork plant in Iowa go down, farmers losing animals because they couldn't ship them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it starts at the farm. additionally, I can tell you another example of supply being diminished was our milk. We literally had tankers picking up milk at farms, standing in long lines at the processing plants here in Michigan, and then dumped their entire load into lagoons because the milk wasn't needed. So, you know, system is susceptible to items like the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we have to adjust.
Well, and I was going to ask about that adjustment because, you know, on the one hand, you have, you know, families that are struggling to survive right now because of loss of income. And, you know, then you have tankers of milk being dumped. It seems like there should be some way to match those things up, but it's not easily done, is it?
No, it isn't. But I got to tell you a success story.
Okay.
And, you know, it doesn't happen very often at the federal level, but it did this time. The U.S. Department of Agriculture developed a Farmers to Families program, I want to say in late May, early June. And that program literally bought product from the farmers. A middleman was contracted to box all that product and get it to food banks.
Mm.
Literally, so we had prepackaged boxes of fresh produce and milk, dairy product, and meat coming to our food giveaways. Prior to that, we literally would have a semi come and drop off all of those individual pieces, and volunteers had to put together the boxes. Now the boxes come prepackaged. They're on a pallet. We unload them, and we're ready to distribute. So that benefited not only communities and less work for volunteers, but it also benefited farmers because they were literally buying the product before it would literally rot in some cases in fields across the country and getting it to people who needed it. It's called the Families to Farmers program. So wow, that's very great. Successful.
Yeah.
And it continues. In fact, if I might just add, the work that we're doing here in St. Clair County and across the state for food distribution for the food insecure, we're already scheduling those giveaways into December. So we know that there's still need out there, and the Farmers to Families program is continuing, and it helps our food banks deliver food to communities.
Well, that's fantastic. Those food banks are so essential, and you know, we often think of you know, food drives as being canned food and prepared food, but the Eastern Michigan Food Bank, I know, really makes sure that you know, produce and meat and dairy and all those things that families really need are distributed to them. There have been so many of those giveaways that have really been a lifeline for a lot of families.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there are 9 food banks across the state. They're all connected to one another in a statewide council, and they're very efficient, and they're very good partners. I would be remiss if I didn't talk a bit about our regional representative, Heather Bearden, who covers the Thumb area, all 5 Thumb counties, and maybe a few more. She's been delightful to work with. And this community in general has stepped up to support our food giveaways all across the county, not just Port Huron, but in Algonac, CAPAC, Emily City, Yale, St. Clair, Marine City. We've spread those food giveaways out during the course of months and try to impact communities and on an even basis as possible. It's been wonderful.
For people who don't know how those food giveaways work, I mean, is there paperwork involved? Do you need to prove income or residency or anything? Or just, you know, how does one of those work?
That's a great question, Paul, and I'm glad you asked it. Did I give you that question to ask me?
Or? No, I think we got ESP going or something here.
Well, I'll tell you, since the Farmers to Families program has started back in late May, early June, we have needed nothing. You get in line and pop the hood of your trunk, and we put the food in your car. We don't need any information. Actually, we go around and ask how many households you're picking up for. Mm. So if you're there to pick up for your household and maybe somebody else's, you say 2, and we put twice the number of boxes in your trunk. That's all we need. That may change in the future. If this program goes away, we might have to you know, collect household information, like number in the household, maybe the head of household name and ages, but which kind of you know, puts us behind a little bit timing wise because it takes more time to do that. But right now, all you need to do is get in line. And if you don't need food for yourself, but you know somebody else does, like a neighbor or a friend, get in line.
Boy, that's fantastic. You're still looking for volunteers to help with these giveaways?
Yeah, another great question, Paul. Early on in March and April and May, when we started distributing food on a large scale basis, we call them pop-up pantries. Not sure why we do that, because a semi shows up. It doesn't seem like a pantry to me, especially when you're putting together 400 boxes in the snow, I might add. We exclusively use volunteers that were recruited through our partnership with Community Mental Health, the Food Bank, and MSU Extension. And so beginning in June, I want to say, many of the sponsors of these trucks, because they're paid for in part by sponsors in the community, had their own volunteers. And so we've needed fewer volunteers over time. However, for example, last Tuesday in Marysville, we had a food giveaway at Storage of America. It's a storage facility on Boucher Highway. Mm-hmm. And First time they ever did it, they didn't have the staff to staff the food giveaway, so we brought 15 volunteers, and everything was taken care of. So we do have a cadre of volunteers that we connect with, but most of the sponsors have their own core, and they take care of the volunteers.
How do people find out where and when the next of these giveaways is going to be? If they're listening, saying, yeah, we really need that. Yeah,
great question. So every Monday, shortly after this phone call, I'll be looking at the list and comparing that list with last week's list and our contacts with the food bank, as well as mental health. And we'll check our new sponsorships that we have going on. Last week we published October only, even though we had November and December lists started. And so we update that every Monday, and we send it out to agencies and organizations and institutions who spread that information out. We also share it on social media on a regular basis. And we also, if we need volunteers, are reaching out to the volunteers to make sure we coordinate with them as well. We generally have I'll give one as an example. The Blue Water YMCA has been sponsoring food giveaways now most of the summer, and I think they're down to maybe one a month, which is wonderful. And we are bringing in enough for about 380 boxes. The last two that I've had the privilege of being part of on the Atchison property behind the YMCA, we've run out of food. So it's pretty well organized. We put people on lines, but going through 380 boxes of food in one giveaway is pretty significant, especially when you're talking about a prepackaged box of produce, a prepackaged box of dairy, and meat.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, so we've learned how to do this over time. I'll tell you that. I wish we didn't have to learn how to do that, but in respect to maybe going back to the beginning of this discussion regarding that food, the food that we're giving away, that food is part of our food system. And we've had the privilege now to participate with the federal government again on this Farmers to Families program to have a consistent supply of food that we can give away. And that same food is hitting our grocery stores as well.
That's great. That's fantastic. I mean, obviously, the whole food supply chain has had to pivot and do things differently, but this program has just been a lifeline to so many families, hasn't it?
Well, and it's also given us an opportunity to provide some educational information. So once in a while, we whip in some recipes or some interesting facts about dairy product. The dairy box, for example, comes with 2 gallons of milk, 4 pints of milk, usually white and chocolate and sometimes strawberry, and then it comes with sour cream and chip dip and a couple other things, cheese sometimes. Well, you know, that's a pretty substantial box for a family of four. But sometimes folks don't know what to do with all that food. The combinations are a little different, so we put recipes in there, and we also put interesting dairy facts and also community resources in there, because we still have pantries around communities, and those folks are still helping folks that are in need of food. But remember, where the pantries typically get their food, are from banks.
Yeah.
That's why we call them food banks.
Right.
They also get it, though, from drives like, the U.S. Postal Service does a drive every year.
Right.
The Boy Scouts do a drive every year. Churches do drives on a regular basis. So those supplies they dwindle quickly during times like this. So the larger scale giveaways have taken a lot of burden and pressure off of pantries, but they still are needed.
That's fantastic. It's been a huge need, and that need's not going away real soon. We sure hope it does in the next year. But in the meantime, these giveaways are crucial for a lot of families. Joe, we appreciate it.
I suspect the word you use, which will continue for at least another year, is the word pivot.
Yeah.
We might see that on the Lake Superior State word to get rid of for 2020.
It may be.
Pivoting has been a crucial point for many organizations and institutions. So pivoting is key right now.
Well, we appreciate what you and all the other folks at the Extension office have done to pivot this year. It's been crucial, that's for sure. Joe, thanks for telling us about it. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.